Thanks for having me on.
So the new album is All That Echoes, and you have lovely little sprinklings of Irish influences on it.
Yeah, I got to sprinkle the Irish influences. I love them too much.
Did you listen to a lot of Irish music when you were younger?
I did. In fact, when I was a kid, my parents were amazing in how much music from around the world they exposed to my brother and I, and so they did. They kind of took us to see all sorts of different styles of shows, Irish music included, and just kind of felt, I don't know, very connected to it. I mean, I don't need to tell you, there's something very emotional and very powerful about it, and have just loved it ever since. And so when you kind of have a chance to kind of pave your own way a little bit, you can take from all your different influences, and so that's always one that has made its way in.
Yeah. Well, it features Falling Slowly, of course, from Once, written by our own Glenn Hansard and Margetta Glova, and of course is now the big show on Broadway in the West End with, you know. Was that an easy decision for you to make, to sing that on the album?
You know, it's whenever you have a song that's so obviously brilliant like that, that so many people have obviously loved, it's an easy decision and it's a difficult decision. I think that the easy decision is just, of course, as a vocalist, as any vocalist who just wants to find great songs to sink your teeth into, it was just right there. It was floating in the air, and I didn't want to overthink it and say to myself, oh, God, you know, I really just shouldn't touch this or I shouldn't sing this. I wanted to give it a shot, and you don't know until you get into the studio and try it. And so it wasn't until after that first take that we all just went, oh, my God, this is magic. And it's one of those universally brilliant songs. 100 people hopefully will cover this song. You know, it's a modern day classic.
Yeah. How about She Moves Through the Fair? Because that is that is an Irish classic. How did that one come about?
Yeah, that one came about from me doing one of my 3 a.m. Search for all different styles of anything, YouTube nights, kind of binges.
Glad you said that.
We've all done there, and some nights you end up with a dog on a skateboard, and some nights you end up with She Moves Through the Fair.
Or both.
So that was a jackpot night for me when I was just kind of looking at some performances of some people,
Had you not heard it before?
Oh, I had heard it before, but it was kind of one of those songs that was in my subconscious. It wasn't one that was at the forefront of my kind of binder of songs. So, I heard Sinead O'Connor do it. I heard Richard Thompson do it. I heard a few different versions online, and it's just plain gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. It's simple, but it's deceptively difficult. There's a lot going on, and it's a gorgeous, haunting melody, And so, these are two songs that are going to be a lot of fun, of course, to sing in Dublin.
Of course, and you're going to be here in a couple of weeks' time.
That's right, on the 23rd.
So you're obviously going to be singing those. And you sang another Irish song as well by another singer-songwriter of ours.
Declan.
Declan Rourke's Galileo.
Galileo, just gorgeous song. And another great thing that's happened from that is just it sparked such a wonderful friendship between Declan and I, which is always a nice thing. And so, I'm going to have to throw that one in the show, too, I guess.
Good.
It's going to be hopefully a real great celebration of all the things I love about Ireland and that city and the fans there that have been a really wonderful kind of slow burn to being able to finally play the O2, which has been a dream for me. So it's going to be a fun night.
So any chance then that Declan might, turn up on the night, maybe, jump up on stage?
You never know. Hey,
sing
look,
a bit
of
Galileo with you.
If he's in town, I'll certainly ask him.
That would be very cool. That would be very cool. I love your story, though. Obviously, you're there, you're a normal kid at school, and the next thing, fast forward to you being on stage with Celine Dion at the Grammys when you're only 17. It's just the stuff of movies, really, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I feel as the business has changed so much and as everything has become, I think, so much more accessible, quicker, and maybe even a little more fickle, it's amazing to me that I feel like I was kind of discovered right at the tail end of the old school business.
You're not that old, though, Josh. Come on.
No. I'm not. I mean, I'm ancient in music business terms, but no, I'm not. 32 is not old. But I was 17 when I got discovered, and at that time in the industry, you could still, I think, sign someone to a major label and give it a couple albums or give it, 3 or 4 months of real trial and error, and it's so quick now. Now it's you have to have the hot single right away, otherwise who knows if you'll have a career. And so I was very lucky that I had a fan base, first of all, that allowed me to just be me, and a record label, too, that continues to just let me just kind of pave my own path. And it's been an amazing journey.
Can I just ask again, though, how it came about? Because there you are, you're 17. I mean, I don't know what kind of 17-year-old you were. You strike me as somebody that was probably pretty confident. Or were you? Because
I wasn't at all. I wasn't at all. I was a real nerd. I mean, I still am, but then I was very shy about singing, and so I really didn't start singing seriously until I was 14 or 15 years old, and I got the call to first sing for David when I was 17. So
this
I had
is David Foster,
much,
this
like, David Foster,
massively influential music producer, right?
Unbelievable. I didn't know him or his music. I mean, I knew his music. I didn't know who he was when I got the call. Because, you know, I didn't read the liner notes. I didn't know that he had 14 Grammys and discovered all these people. So when he first started having me sing for a couple of things and had me sing for Celine Dion, with Celine Dion, I was just kind of, you know, saying, hey, can I skip history class for a day to go do this stuff? And I never expected it to turn into anything more than that, but he really believed in me, and he believed in my sound, and he, you know, said, I want to give this a shot. Maybe it won't sell any records, but he loved it, and I'll forever be grateful for that.
You're also known, of course, as a man who's, you know, you appear in a lot of different TV shows, and people have spotted the fact that this guy likes having a bit of crack. He likes having a bit of a laugh. Doesn't take himself too seriously.
Yeah.
One of the best things I ever saw, and actually for listeners, if you haven't seen it, go onto YouTube, type in Jimmy Kimmel and Josh Groban and Kanye West, and you will find one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I'm not sure how funny he found it.
Tell us, because that's really what I wanted to ask, because it's this skit where you are at your piano and you're singing along to Kanye West tweets, and it's just... It's TV gold.
Well, I mean, those tweets were comedy gold anyway, but I think to be able to add a baritone vocal to them was a really hilarious idea on Jimmy Kimmel's part. And so we got to the set, and they basically said, okay, we printed out some favorites. I said, okay, I printed out some favorites too. And they said, okay, great. Well, here's a piano. Why don't you just write 15 mini songs to these ridiculous tweets? And they kind of, you know, they locked the editing door and they turned it into this hilarious infomercial.
I actually have to read out two of them here.
Oh, yeah, you must.
Fur pillows are actually hard to sleep on. That was
which is true. Yeah.
Which is true. And man, whatever happened to my antique fish tank?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wasted some of my best melodies on those tweets. I think that, like, in the course, if I think about how many hits I could have had.
I would have bought that album.
Well, you know, maybe we'll release it. Yeah,
it's
a double record.
Should.
You know, there's about 487 tweets. So, yeah.
And what did he say? What was like? Did you ever, have you met him?
He retweeted the link. I have met him. I met him in London once, and he was very, very nice. And he retweeted the link, so he definitely acknowledged it. But you know, if somebody were to do that to my tweets, I'd be like, LOL, like,
yes,
this is
totally
amazing, you have to see this, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. I think he was just kind of like, yeah, this happened. you know, he had to stay cool about it. So, but he retweeted it, so I'll take that as a glowing endorsement. And so far he hasn't rapped anything of mine, so I'll fingers crossed.
Not yet. So what's life like on a daily basis for you? Because, like, you're so known now. I mean, I'm sure it's hard for you to walk down the street without being, like, you know, mauled by anybody passing.
Oh, I can definitely, you know, turn it on and off when I want to. I mean, I think that, I don't know, I think I can fly under the radar anytime I want to, which is nice. I mean, I love the travel. I mean, for me, I'm you know, home is where the pillow is. I think that one of the great things and one of the sacrifices about becoming better known is that you're always hitting the road. You're always going from hotel room to hotel room, and so you miss your loved ones, you miss your dog. And for me, it's very important that in said cities I can go out, you know, and go out by myself. I like to wander. I like to go out. I like to people watch. I like to eat at restaurants alone. Like I like to go explore a city and kind of have like a personal experience with it. So I think I'd become quite miserable actually if I felt like I couldn't go out. People come up, but they're generally really, really polite and very nice and just want to shake your hand and say, you know, like your stuff or don't like your stuff or whatever it is. But it's really pretty cordial you know, I don't like to keep myself in a bubble.
But do you have, like, tricks? Like, do you wear a beanie hat and shades and that kind of stuff?
You know, I wear glasses constantly because I'm blind as a bat. So So I think usually when I'm in like performance Josh mode, I'm usually in contacts and I'm not wearing a hat. So yeah, I'll usually wear like hat and glasses.
Okay.
Which is kind of my normal day-to-day look, so I think people just usually aren't expecting it.
Yes. Well, you've also, like, obviously, you know, all these albums, this is the sixth one, and now you're kind of branching into movies as well, because you have a movie out next month.
Yeah.
And I saw the trailer, Coffee Town.
Coffee Town, oh yeah. It's a bit silly.
It is a bit silly. It looks good.
Yeah, it's funny. It was a blast to make. I mean, the actors in this film are so funny. They're some of my kind of improv comedy heroes. And it's great to play against type. I mean, to play kind of a... the resident jerk,
yeah,
was a blast. You know, it's always fun to kind of play the bad guy, and so we had a really good time making it. And you know, it probably won't be every one of my fans' cup of tea because there's, you know, some not safe for work humor in it, but it is mine, and I think that it's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Is that a deliberate thing, though? Are you trying to kind of like roughen up your image a bit?
No, it's not. It's not deliberate. I just think that, you know, my philosophy now is that if I find something really funny and if it inspires me and it makes me want to try it, I think I'm going to go for it. And I have to kind of trust that, you know, my fan base is fairly similar to me. There may be some stuff we disagree on, some stuff we don't like, but it's a funny film and my character was really fun to play. And I think that for me, having the chance to kind of branch off and to do something that I thought was really funny and really cool was a blast for me.
I would have thought, though, you were a no-brainer for Les Mis. Like, did you have any interest in that?
I did actually. I had a chance to audition. I was on tour, and I remember it exactly. I was playing Florida, and I had come down with a really awful cold, and it was right kind of in the window where I could have sent in a tape, but I just wasn't feeling up to snuff.
No way.
And so I didn't. But you know, it's one of those things where I think it turned out absolutely great. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely. Well, look, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. We're looking forward to seeing you here in Dublin on June the 23rd. You're going to be in the O2.
Yeah.
Thing tickets are still available, but they're probably selling pretty quickly. The new album is All That Echoes, and we're going to play the new single from it now as well. So, Josh Groban, thanks a million.
Hey, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Okay, here it is, False Alarms.
the quiet calm of love will fly.